Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, church. How are we? Let's just put it out there. This is not our comfort zone, so we need you with us this morning. This is completely new to the both of us,
yes.
But as it's been said, and we know it, pretty much everyone. If we haven't met you yet, then we're looking forward to meeting you. But I'm James, and this is my wife,
Ange. Maybe should I stand still? I'm pregnant, so I might need to sit.
I'm pregnant too. She carried the last one. I thought I'd carry this one. So, yes, we're off to a good start. Good.
We were going to be like, can you guess who's pregnant?
This is what it's like to be pregnant.
Didn't land, sorry.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, we've been married for 5 years now.
Almost five years.
Coming up in December. We've been flirting for a very long time, though. Flirting for, what's that, like 13 years?
Maybe.
You got to wait. You got to wait for good things. We'll get to that later, but... It's an absolute honor to come up today and to just have the opportunity to share what God's doing in our world.
Yeah.
And simply that's what this morning is. We're not theologians. We haven't got this huge biblical background, but we've journeyed with Jesus for as long as we've been alive. So hopefully there's things in what we're going to share today that you can relate to, or maybe not, and you just get a look into our world. And you get to understand a part of this household, a part of this family as Celebration Church, and realize that everyone brings something to the table.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
We're sitting down with the Father, there's a feast, and everyone's bringing something. So I encourage you today, out of everything, don't just listen to, you know, what we're saying as face value. Take it on board. What's God doing in you?
Yes.
What's been the seasons that you've walked through? What are the seasons that are ahead?
Mm.
And what's that journey look like? What can you impart into someone else?
Yeah.
Because really, our heart is all about generations. It's all about just seeing kingdom worked out through our incredible kids ministry.
Yeah.
Through the young adults, through youth, like through the grandparents of the house.
Yes. Yeah.
Your time is not done yet.
Yeah.
There is a part
Amen.
To be played. And we just encourage you, through whatever season you're in right now, recognize it and outwork it. Don't just wait for someone else. Because
it's good.
My goodness. If Kathy didn't introduce me to her spaghetti bolognese, oh, what she brought to the table that day changed my life. We always had carrot in it. Who puts carrot in spaghetti bolognese? No. Oh my goodness, Kathy, you changed my life forever, and now I look pregnant. But anyway, we just wanted to take a quick second as well. We just wanted to thank a couple of people and just encourage a couple of people, because why not? We've got the chance.
Yeah,
let's take it.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to quickly shout out, I know they're not in the room, but the Frith family, Peter and Christy. Today we're going to be just as I said, we're going to be talking about recognizing and honoring spiritual gifts within the family.
Yeah.
And I think the Frith family, if you don't know them that well, they are an incredible family who have such a heart to just honor God and serve His house, serve His people. And they are such an encouragement to us. We get the honor of having Pete and Christy on our kids' team. They're part of our supervising team who actually run the program. They're running today. And the way that they pour into their kids, the way that they pour into our kids is just incredible. They take such diligence in recognizing what's over the kids' lives.
Yeah, it's good.
And pulling it out. Christy has such a joy when she talks about each and every kid.
Yeah.
She's always got something to encourage, always something to draw out. And for me, that is super encouraging as a parent.
Yeah.
Super encouraging as someone who's released my kids into their care, that they're someone who always builds, and Pete is someone who so carefully chooses his words to build.
Yeah.
They're a man and woman of God who are definitely committed to seeing the kingdom move forward.
It's very good.
And I think our house is blessed to have the Frith here. And,
amen.
And I almost like that they're not in here, because it's not like we're just saying this for like them to feel good. They are genuinely people who build the kingdom and who want to see things move forward. So I encourage you to encourage them.
Yeah.
Encourage our kids team. They need it. Like, yeah, we're very, very blessed.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Great. Well, shall we keep going?
Yes.
Yeah. This morning when we're in worship, so this is just how we're going to flow this morning, just allow the Holy Spirit just to speak with you. But I got something for you, Alan, and it's been a while and it's coming, so I'm sorry it hasn't been encouraged over you yet. But I just sense that there's such a joy over you, and just to be so encouraged, the way that you enjoy God in worship is such a blessing to our house. And I think that you bring such a breakthrough when you worship, and the joy that you bring. And just allow, what I got for you is like, just continue to allow God to allow you to be you, because what you carry as you is very significant and very important, and really important to the family of God, because you do bring breakthrough. And when you're worshiping, I get encouraged, and it makes me want to, you know, keep, you know, jumping up and down and enjoying God, because there is a joy that you bring, and joy brings breakthrough, and it's a strength within you. So we're blessed. We're blessed. And Joe, where are you? Is Joey? Oh, there's Joey. Thank you, worship team. Like, we just want to honor you as well. Like, what you bring, our worship team's incredible. We're very thankful that you lead us into a place with God that is really beautiful, and we're blessed. So thank you, worship team. But I just got over you dreaming, and I got the word. There is something when you lead worship, Joe, that is really unique and significant. And I sense that the Holy Spirit was saying, keep dreaming with me, because I'm going to lead you into places that you've never walked before with me yet. But there is an aspect of the dreaming of God that I feel that the Holy Spirit wants to just unlock within you again. Just keep dreaming big, and not to let the natural influence the way that you dream. Sorry, I get emotional about that, because I think sometimes we can see naturally, and then it limits what we then can believe God to do, because our God can do so much greater, and he's so much bigger. And that's for a lot of us in here. Don't let the natural, what you're seeing natural, influence the way that you dream, because God is so much greater. He's so much bigger. He's so much more capable. And the word I got over our house in worship was, put your crowns back on. We, as Celebration Church, as a family, need to remember who we are. And the Father said to me in worship, he said, remind the people again who they are. You're a son, you're a daughter, yes, but you are crowned. He says that we are a royal priesthood. That means we are crowned in authority and in power. And if situations or discouragements or the natural has caused you to forget who you are, put it back on again. Remember who you are. Remember who you are in the kingdom of God. It is, like, I think if we actually got it, wow, like, we are, would be such a force that is so unstoppable in our city and in our nation, to really understand the power, the authority that we carry, because we belong to the Father, we belong to the King. It is so powerful. So if you are that, maybe you are, you're like, I'm flourishing, I know I'm a son and a daughter, I know that I carry his authority, I know that I'm wearing my crown. It was for me this morning. I need to remember that put that crown back on, because you are royal. You are seated in heavenly places. We are not seated in earthly mindsets any longer. We are seated in heaven. We are seated with Christ. That is our new identity as a son and as a daughter. So let's remember that afresh as his people this morning. Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's pray.
Let's pray.
We're going to get into it. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you that we have the honor of coming to your house, of
thank
serving
you, Holy Spirit.
Of lifting up your name and entering into your presence.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
And, Father, I just pray over this morning that there will be such a grace for us to share, such
a grace
for everyone to receive. And, Father, above hearing us, we just pray that we hear you, your sweet voice, Father, that that we would be
so drawn
closer to you by the time we spend with you today. And Father, we pray over the kids' ministry this morning. Father, I pray that they would encounter heaven on earth as well.
Amen.
That we would see the spiritual gifts on their life flourish.
Yes,
we pray
Jesus.
That we see miracles take place in that room this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we pray that you bless the team that's running that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Cool. Thanks, Lynn. Cool. So, as we said, this morning we're going to be sharing about recognizing and honoring the spiritual gifts within our home and our family. And I think since this series has started with Pastor B and with Pastor Joel and Pastor Shah getting up and sharing, it's definitely opened up that communication at home. Have you guys found that? It's causing us to be intentionally thoughtful about what do we carry?
Yeah.
What does my wife carry? What does my son carry? We have a little boy named Jack. He's 2. We've got one on the way. And just thinking about, as a family, what are we carrying individually, but what are we carrying as a household? Yeah. Because I definitely think there's a blessing and an anointing placed on us when we come together, when there's unity.
Yeah, amen.
But we've got to recognize it and we've got to outwork it. If we don't, we're just wasting our time. Mm. So for us, recognizing that and honoring that is going to cause each other to flourish and is going to cause each other to be actually growing in our spiritual gifts and cause each other to practically outwork it. Like Mark was sharing this morning, it's good to have theory, but we've always got to marry it back up with the practical. Like, there's no point in receiving these spiritual gifts if we just keep them for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's definitely, we've been equipped to equip the house.
Amen.
We've been equipped to equip our community and to outwork what we're doing. So.
So good.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yes. Yeah, so we just, we're really believing that God will just speak, obviously, and that you will be encouraged, and we just want to share around the generations. So we're going to look at the family, look at children, look at our grandparents. But as you're hearing this, it's obviously for the body of Christ as well, so the family of God. So just be encouraged with that. So we really want to look at how to recognize and empower gifts, and also just how that can be applied to family, but also to the family of God as well. So hand it over to you to start us up.
Cool. So, as we said, 2 years ago, we had our incredible little son, Jack. And as every parent knows, life has just been since. I don't know how to spell that, but you can put that in your notes. But it is wild that all of a sudden you were just given a baby to go home and be like, just look after it and make sure they don't die. Okay, we'll figure that out. And we go home and this bundle of joy is in our arms and we're overwhelmed with excitement and just not knowing what's going on, but trusting that God is going to absolutely have to take the wheel. Because I remember the first night we got Jack home and I went into a full panic attack. What if he doesn't know how to breathe? How do I teach a baby to breathe? What do I do? And I had to end up calling Pastor Benaiah. We're so incredibly blessed. Actually, we should have led with this.
Yes.
Our house, Celebration Church, Pastor Benaiah and Pastor Charlotte are just the most incredible couple.
Yeah.
We are so blessed to have their leadership over this house. We're very thankful. Pastor Charlotte's actually Angie's sister. So we get quite an insight into their life. On the pulpit, off the pulpit, and can we just say they're the same?
Yeah.
Like, they're transparent. When we get
so
them coming up and sharing in front of the church, like, they share how raw it is to be doing life together, to have the honor and responsibility of carrying a church and carrying each other and growing and raising a family and figuring it out just like everyone else is. We are just so blessed with people who just take the time to do it in such a real, vulnerable way.
Amen.
To get up every week and just absolutely leave themselves behind and just step into the grace and the anointing that's placed on their life. And can we just say, we cannot encourage them too much.
Yes.
We cannot honor them too much. You are never going to have unhealthy pastors because they're honored too much.
Yep.
And the gifting on their life is valued in a way that we receive it more.
Amen.
We only benefit from that. So can I encourage us as a church to just continue to encourage them?
Yeah, amen.
Leave Kit Kats in their letterbox. Do whatever it takes. Just, we're so blessed.
Yes.
I can't stress it enough. But
yeah.
I remember that first night we got home and I had to call PSB and just be like, bro, I am stressing out. I do not know what to do right now as a parent. They didn't go through this. We go through all this prenatal class of like how crazy and intense birth is going to be.
They don't tell you.
And they were right. That was intense, but that was something else. But then bang, you've got this baby in your arms and you head home and you think, I'm not ready for this. We read up until giving birth and now we've got this kid to look after and to value and to build. And how do I even parent? And it just took us a moment to step back and realize like, hey, God's had us this whole time.
Yeah.
He's going to walk with us through this. He's going to continue to be faithful.
Amen.
And as long as we continue to partner with the Father and partner with each other and build one another up, our son is going to have the most healthy environment where he can grow, he can flourish, he can have the giftings upon his life recognized. And it just reminded us, when we were talking about this, we were thinking about Hannah and Samuel. Someone who was so desperate to have a son that she went she went and prayed to the Father and just said, Lord, I am so desperate. As long as you give me a son, I will release him straight back to you. I will spend my life making sure that he spends his life serving your house.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does, and you can see it in Samuel 1. But Hannah's given the gift of a son, and she gives birth, and then when he becomes of age, she takes him back to the temple and gives him to a priest named Eli.
Mm.
And Eli was the one that really encouraged us about recognizing the spiritual gifts upon kids.
Mm.
So I'm sure everyone's heard it, but just to summarize, Samuel wakes up in the middle of the night to the sound of God's voice.
Mm.
Samuel, Samuel, wakes up, runs to Eli. What do you want? It wasn't me. Go back to bed. Samuel, Samuel wakes up, goes to Eli. It wasn't me. Back to bed. And on the third time, Eli recognizes that Samuel is actually hearing God's voice. And he says, next time when you wake up, say to God, I am listening, speak. And for us, we were just so encouraged that sometimes we overcomplicate things as far as, like, is our son going to be a prophet? Is our son going to have the gift of hospitality? Is he going to have the gift of words of knowledge? I don't know. In different seasons, he'll probably mature and he'll change.
Mm.
But for us, recognizing when he's hearing the sound of God's voice and teaching him how to stop and listen and have a sealer moment of just recognizing that right now it is about what God is saying directly to me.
Good.
I encourage us as parents, as grandparents, as siblings, to be able to teach a child to stop and hear God's voice in a moment is so much more powerful than what we're going to say to that child in a moment.
Yeah. Really
for us, our expectation on Jack isn't that he's going to start outworking his gifting straight away, but he starts to understand his giftings, understanding his two. It would be absolutely ridiculous for us to get him to get up here and give a prophecy. Yesterday, I was on top of the world. Yesterday, for the first time, he counted to five. Wild. It was good. I was changing his nappy and He decided to count to five. Mind blown. He's never been counting. It was a pretty cool moment.
And it came to me and I was like, okay. He's like, oh, I thought you'd be a bit more excited.
I thought it was unreal.
I was like, oh, it's good.
But for us to recognize like what's on his life, and there'll be a timing for it. But for now, like for him to understand that God's anointed him and blessed him already, how he'll outwork that will come in time. But teaching him how to understand first God's voice is going to be a priority in our life.
100%. Yeah, because that obviously outworks into who you're called to be and what your gifting is. And I think as well, when we're talking about parents, obviously, it's if you're not a parent in this house, if you're discipling someone, or if you have people in your world that, you know, you are leading, it's the same. It's like, how are you going to recognize what's on their life, encourage them in their gifting, and empower them to then be all they're called to be? I think it's a really powerful thing. And as parents, what a joy we get to have in doing that for our children. And I know from my own experience, my beautiful parents were incredible with that. So just on a very practical aspect, I had the gift of playing the piano, which I worship. I'm going to put that in. And so obviously encourage that gift on my own life by, you know, taking me to piano lesson practice and doing those sort of things, and empowering what's on my life that I've then been able to use in different ministries that I've been involved in hearing worship. So it just goes that, you know, you might only be discipling, if this goes to discipleship, someone for a season, but who knows what you can instill in empowering them in the gifts that they're called to be, that they can then use later when God releases them into something. Because that was what it was for me as a child. You know, I was practicing the piano, I was using that gift, but it wasn't until years later that God then released me into doing it as a ministry in our church in Bomber and through different organizations. So we just want to encourage you with that as well, that, you know, what we instill, what we sow, how we empower has so much value that can be then released later as well, which is exciting. So then as we look at children, so obviously talked about parents, what it looks like as a parent to recognize and empower the gifts on lives, or as a discipler, what it looks like to recognize that on people you're leading. But what about our children in the family? So, and this can also go for people that are new in the family of God, people who have just made that decision to follow Jesus. You know, they're still learning, they're still growing. So allowing people time to develop their gift. So when we think about Jack, like we're going to talk a lot about like our own experiences. When we talk about Jack, we're not expecting him to learn something straight away. Obviously, he went from crawling, he crawled for so long, to the point where I was like, is this child ever going to walk? He was very slow to walk. He'd pull himself up, he'd love to push his little walker around, but letting that walker go and actually walking, it took him a while. And so there's that, obviously, that empowerment to encourage him to walk, giving him things to help him to walk. But it wasn't until he then felt that confidence and he then took those first steps. But I wasn't expecting him to do that straight away. You know, those gifts that we have upon our own lives, the gifts that our children have, they are going to take time to develop. And it's not that expectation for them to happen straight away. It's allowing that development to happen, giving them opportunities. And I love that with our Father as well. Like when the Father looks at us as his children, he is not expecting us to learn things straight away. Like there are seasons for us developing in the gifts that are on our life. Yes, the Holy Spirit, it's the same Spirit that, you know, gives those gifts. He gives gifts to James and to I and to you. But, you know, it will take time to develop, and he's not expecting it to happen straight away. It requires us to have that partnership with the Holy Spirit, which is the most beautiful thing to have. And he is the one that will equip us and teach us and help us how to use those gifts that he's actually given us. You know, he knows what he's given you. He knows what he's given me. So therefore, he knows how to help you with it.
We don't have to try and strive to get it straight away. For me, I'm such a want to get it done straight away, don't I? Like, I want to, I've heard that right. I want to be able to do that the following day. But the Holy Spirit is so gentle in being like, it's going to take time. It's going to take practice. And how beautiful is that? And He is the one who comes alongside us to help us, to guide us, to empower us. And I love this verse. I'm not sure if it's going to be up on the screen for us, but when I think about the gifts that are over each one of your lives, when I think about it over our children and how we can empower our children, they're really powerful. And what we've been talking about is it is building up. It's building up not only yourself, not only the kingdom, not only one another, but building up, and it's mighty and it's powerful. And so in Ephesians 3, verse 20, I don't know if it's going to be on the screen yet, in the Passion, it says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. So to encourage you around your gifting, know that as you partner with the Holy Spirit, as we encourage our children to do the same, it can be infinitely more than what you could ever imagine. That is what it's like with Him. So when you're thinking about your gifting, when you're thinking about the children that you have or those that you are discipling, the power of God over your life can work miraculously greater than what you could ever imagine, which for me just brings so much comfort when I think about what we bring individually, that it's actually when the Holy Spirit then works within that gifting, how much more powerful that is. And when we think about our kids, so we're talking about the family, the importance, like what James has said, of allowing them to develop that relationship, allowing them to understand the Holy Spirit. And we were talking about this, and it's like stirring faith to believe what's bigger, like that whole verse of even what we're talking about here, it's greater. So when we were talking about this, I thought I was sharing with James about different ministries across the world where their kids are actually having such incredible encounters with the Holy Spirit that it's then releasing them to do these incredible works in the kingdom. So it's not looking down on those that are younger than us or looking down on those that still might be growing and learning, but actually empowering them to see greater with the Holy Spirit and to believe that with Him they actually can achieve and do incredible things. And even from testimonies in our own kids' ministry, we've had moments where our kids have prophesied over one another and they've spoken God's words and encouragement to each other where they've felt released in their own giftings. And I think that with our children, it's never underestimate, you know, what they carry. When they pray for you, they can 100% release their healing gift or the miraculous gift as much as an adult because they carry that Holy Spirit power within them. And so I think even when we're thinking as a church family, how we can empower and recognize it over our kids as parents, but also the children that are in our family, you know, you still have a part to play that you can help to encourage and recognize giftings on their life and how powerful that can be to help them not to be limited in what they see or limited in what they know, but to allow them to have that faith and that journey with the Holy Spirit that can release them into more of who they're called to be in the kingdom and more of who they're called to be in our family. So we think about, you know, some of our incredible kids, you know, when you think about them, you know, what do they actually carry? What are their spiritual gifts? But how can you, as part of the family, encourage and empower them so they do feel released to be able to use those gifts that are going to help us, that are going to help build the kingdom, are going to help build the family of God, build our church. So we're, yeah, passionate about that, excited about that.
I think it's important as well. Don't just go off the story of your own life, the journey that you've been on. Like, I think it's easy for us to know our experiences and the story that we've walked and what our parents did for us. But are you setting a platform for your kids to be able to go further?
Yeah.
Like, are you limiting your kids' faith just because of the vision that you have?
Yeah.
Or are you setting their eyes on a way that they're focused on what heaven sees?
Yes.
Yeah. Are they going to do something that's going to disrupt the normal and set a supernatural pathway ahead of their life? Or is it going to be boxed into, we go to church on Sundays and we pray before dinner,
yeah,
and we do the Bible app before bed? They're not bad things, but they're just structures where we can help growth,
yes,
not structures where we limit growth to. And I encourage us as parents and as grandparents, and because for some people, we're talking about maybe skipping a generation, and it's your responsibility to maybe speak into your grandkids' lives,
yes,
because maybe,
yeah,
their parents are on their own journey and figuring life out, and that's okay. And we've got faith to see their parents,
yes,
step back into the kingdom of God, step back into what their real, yeah, identity is.
Good.
And to understand what the truth is that Jesus is speaking over,
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
But do we set a platform? Like, do we have an air? Is the soil fertile enough, and are we humble enough for our kids to exceed where we are?
Yeah.
Do we want them to live the life that we've lived, or to live the life that we dream of them,
yeah,
living?
Amen.
Like, is it going beyond where we are?
So
I hope
good.
Jack goes so much further beyond,
yes, amen,
our limited faith.
Yeah.
What we have faith to see, I pray that's his normal, and then, yes, he has a supernatural faith,
yeah,
to see so much more,
amen,
happen, because our world needs this. Our community needs,
yes,
it. He's going to be stepping into a school system that's going to be so broken when he goes. I pray that he has such a sweet spirit and such a heart to see his friends,
amen,
come to know Jesus,
amen,
in a way that I was so afraid of doing when,
yeah,
I was his age.
Yeah.
And it's not an expectation that he needs to do this, but there is so much room for him to step out in faith with Jesus,
yeah,
and to journey with Jesus and to find his identity in,
yeah,
Jesus.
Amen. It's good. Very good.
Yeah. So I think it's one thing for us to recognize the gifts on our kids' life, but it's also understanding the timing. For us in our journey, timing has been, I think timing's probably the word over our,
yeah,
life.
Yes.
Especially,
yeah,
over our relationship. So,
yeah,
from good to bad timing, I think just an insight into really real what's happening in our family at the moment. Last night, we decided to move Jack to his big boy bed.
Which we were like, why are we doing it like the,
oh my goodness,
day before Jack?
So we took him straight out of the crib, straight into a double bed in his own room where he could,
double bed. He's a little bit lost.
I know. Lost touch with the common man, I tell you what. Really, it was out of, we were like, hang on, if we've got to get into bed and settle him, I want to be able to sleep. I'm not lying on a single bed with another kid. I want room. But last night we put him to bed and it took, we're so thankful. We're very blessed. He is such a good kid when it comes to sleep. We haven't had the horror stories. We're really blessed. Last night it took us 3 hours to get him down, which we were there like, oh my goodness. Oh, 3 hours to get this kid down. He came out, he had some chippies for dinner. Like, he was all good. He was loving life. He was just so excited to be in his big boy bed. But maybe it wasn't the right timing. The night before, we needed to sit down and go over what we were sharing, and then coming to church in the morning and being like, oh yeah, we're all good, we've got it together. Maybe it wasn't the right timing to pick that night to be like, no, he's ready. We're going to move into this as a family. He's moving into his big boy bed. He's kicked out of his cot, and we're going to move forward in this. We're determined. Sometimes it's not the right timing. It worked out. We were very, very thankful for the grace that God gave us, and we'll see what happens tonight. Be praying for us. But there's timing for everything. And in our relationship,
yeah,
Ange and I met, it was 13 years ago? Something like,
yeah,
that?
Yeah, something like that. I can't.
So we met and we were at a Jim Owen, at a Jim Owen comedy show at the what's it called? The Nowra
Entertainment
Centre. I was there hanging out with my mates. Ange looked across and was just breathtaking. Everything that she'd hoped for was just standing right in front of her. Little did she know I was still in high school and she'd just started teaching. But it didn't matter. It was okay. She had to wait. But she got shut down very quickly. She realized.
Okay, so we didn't actually talk then, all right? So you're telling
In your
story
mind, we
line.
Did. Hey, boy, what's going on? But it really was one of those moments where, like, you meet someone, you think, oh my goodness, this person. Like, at that moment, did we know we were going to get married? No. But we knew that there was like, well, this person is pretty incredible and I definitely want to be around this person more. We were doing youth ministry together. We started, Pastor Joel set us up. We started leading.
This is a little bit later on, okay, when we're like older.
Bouncing through the years. Pastor Joel asked us to start leading our South Campus together. He obviously saw what was in our lives. We started leading that. We really wanted to start dating, and we started praying about it separately. And God fully just said, wait.
Yeah.
Just wait. And really condensing the story down, we ended up feeling like that season lasted 7 years, which for us was the most brutal 7 years that we'd been through yet, because our hearts really genuinely longed for this relationship to start. And we really have, it felt like every time we would start talking, we were unavoidable. We were doing youth together. We were doing
very much friends in like group settings with like.
We were on the worship team together. We were doing a lot of, our friends were all the same. We were around each other all the time, but God just kept saying, wait, it's not the time. It was never no, it was just wait. And for 7 years, it would feel like the friendship would just start getting closer and closer, and we'd start texting and, the flirting and everything else. I'm like, Ange, just back off. It's all right. But every time, like, God just located us and would be like, I've said wait.
Yeah.
Just stop. Just wait. And it would feel like a breakup, because all of a sudden, like, these soul ties were starting to form, and we would start. We were getting so soft towards one another, really soft. but every time it was just like, wait.
Yeah.
And so, okay, we'll step back. We'll check ourselves. And we had incredible friends around us. We have to shout out to the Websters, who were just the shoulder that both of us would come to and just be like, oh, why isn't God letting us step into this right now? I feel like I'm ready to date. We're adults. Why aren't we doing this? And there was no one telling us not to do it. It was that conviction within ourselves that God was saying, it is not the timing for it. You need to wait. And over this time, I went through and did my apprenticeship as an electrician, which I think if anyone's done a season of traineeship, whether that's going through university or whether it is an apprenticeship of sorts, like, there is such a maturity that comes through going from thinking you're an adult and you can do whatever you like to you're back down to the bottom of the ladder. You're on $6.80 an hour and you're just told what to do every day. Turn up, do your job. And you really got to humble yourself to go through this apprenticeship and really just allow that process of being taught to teach you. And through that, we were doing... we were both heavily involved, as we were saying, in youth and in church and discipleship. And what that 7 years really taught us to do was to be humbled, to listen to God, and that it's okay to wait. We got to the end of the 7 years and we felt like I sat down with Pastor Benaiah and was like, he knew the journey that we'd been on. He was very gracious every time we'd catch up. The one thing that would come back to is like, I don't know if God's telling us to start dating or not. I don't know. But it would come back to just trust God.
Yes.
Listen to his voice. And when the timing's right, there'll be such a grace to step into it. And it was so true, because when we actually started dating, there was such a grace. There was a lot of growing still to do in that season, and learning how to date after we felt like we'd broken up like five times. But there was such a grace and such a blessing because of waiting on what God had said to do. And when we've stepped into our marriage, we are so thankful that we didn't walk through what we walked through individually together, because there was a maturity when we stepped into our relationship, because we'd waited for the right timing. Yeah. Whereas if we'd had to go through the things we went through individually, would we still be here? I don't know. Like, would we still be in this relationship? I don't know. But waiting on the right timing for us has proven fruitful every time. In everything that we've stepped into, God, is this your timing?
Yeah.
Is it time for you to outwork through our life, or is it time to just be obedient with what you've given me now? Because sometimes it can be so hard to just sit there and feel like I'm just doing the same thing again. I feel like maybe there's a new grace on my life, but I'm going to stay here and honor what God's asked me to do in this moment. You're never going to miss out because you're waiting on God.
That's right.
Like, he is so faithful through everything that we do. So he wants to bless us. He wants us to see incredible things happen in our life. But if we wait on his timing, that's absolutely everything.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Learning to do that has taught us to communicate so much. Through those years of not being able to speak to each other, and the years of having to tell each other, hey, we need to step back from this thing. Now that we've stepped into marriage and we've, in this this series, talking about spiritual gifts, learning how to recognize what's in our own life first, like in that season when we needed to wait, and then bringing that to the table so that we can honor one another with it, share it to each other, but also learning how to communicate. Ange, I actually need you to speak into this element of my life because either I'm strong in it or I'm weak in it, but I need you to help me build it. And I believe fully that as a husband and wife, that's really what we're called to do, like to build one another up. Do you see what's over each other's life? Do you speak out the greatness over your wife? Do you honor her for who she is more than your kid's mum, more than just your wife? Do you speak out truly the identity of God over her? Are you someone who brings life to her spirit, like her spiritual being, that she can flourish in that at home, that her ministry is also outworked through everything that she does? And as a wife, are you speaking into your husband's life, building honor, like building out those things that are upon his life? Do we know how to communicate that with each other, or do we just, I feel so misunderstood, I feel like I'm just doing this by myself? Because as a married couple, we genuinely believe that what we've got, we surrender to each other. We use it to build each other, but also I'll choose to always build up over what's your on your life.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I also like sense that through that waiting season, like what we were talking about before in developing gifts, like it really was a season where you developed in that discernment gift, which is one of the gifts that James got on his test. And it just, that discernment in hearing God's voice and waiting for God's timing, that season like really helped to develop that gift. So even no matter what season you're walking through, you just don't know like how God could be actually refining your gift and actually teaching you how to use that gift to build, and which he has done throughout our marriage life. In having that discernment gift has really helped to build our marriage and help us as a couple to realize, you know, the timing of God for certain things. You know, is this the right timing for this? Is the right timing for this? Praying into it, but then allowing him to feel released in that gift of discernment to bring that to build into our marriage has been really powerful. And another thing, like what James was saying about honoring, like as it says in the word, honor your wife and build, which he has done, which we're still learning. Like we're obviously, we're not
masters at any of this. Let's just put that at the top. Like we're learning.
We're still on the journey. We're still learning. We're only, you know, 5 years. But through that time, I think for me, I can be very, very quick to judge and to
myself and very quick to see everything that I'm doing that is not up to standard or not up to expectation. But James has come along and been able to help to rebuild truth and encouragement and actually release that over me so that I feel released in my giftings to actually build those gifts within my own life, but to feel empowered to be that. So I think as a husband and wife couple, that's so important. Like, and I've actually voiced that to James and said, look, I just really need your encouragement in what I'm doing right now because I don't feel like I'm doing a good job. I feel like things aren't working. And then the truth that he speaks is so wonderful in rebuilding and building myself. And so in Proverbs 16, verse 24, it says that. It says, nothing is more appealing than speaking beautiful, life-giving words, for they release sweetness to our souls and inner healing to our spirits. The words that we speak over one another have that power to do that with us. So have that power in a marriage, have that power in relationships, in friendships, in whoever you're talking to. Are you releasing life-giving words that is bringing healing but is also helping to encourage and build people in the gifts that they're called to on their life? So we want to, as a couple, be doing that for one another. But also to the people that we are around, we want to be able to build and encourage through the words that we're using so people feel released in their giftings. And I think as we go on from that, this is just a word that I sensed that I got as we were preparing, that how important it is for us to realize as children of God what he's actually spoken over you and the gifts he's actually released over you. And to be so confident in that and not to doubt, because I think so often we might do the test or we might do things and we think, oh God, is that really, you know, what I'm good at? I feel like sometimes, you know, I'm not very good at that. But just to be so confident that he's actually released that over your life for a purpose and it's significant. And it is to equip yourself, I believe, as well. But it's also, obviously, what we've been talking about is to build others up, is to build up the people in your family, to build up the people in our church community. But I think, as well, a huge thing is don't compare, especially if your gift is the same as somebody else's. So if you flow in the same gifting, and it can be like, oh, they've got the gift of prophecy, but man, they prophesy so much better than what I do in my gift of prophecy. We are not called to be that. We are not called to compare. You are called to be you, and who you are is significant, is important, and has a part to play in your own family, but in our family, in our church family. And it's almost like when we talk about that verse about each member has a part to play. If one member is only saying, oh, I'm just going to do the hand, I'm just going to do all of that and not even care about the eye part of the body, you know, every part is significant. It has a part to play. And we need to be people that, as a married couple, like what we're learning to do is to honor the giftings on each other and pull it out of one another and encourage it over each other, but also to do that with one another. Like, encourage that gift on that other person, honor it, receive off it, but also don't compare it, because as soon as we compare something, it's like you're taking the value off it and it's just not going to be helpful in building up each other. And it says in Galatians 6 verse 4, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. It says to be careful to examine your own work, your actions, your attitudes and behavior, and then we can have a personal satisfaction and inner joy of doing something commendable without comparing yourself to one another. And I sense from that verse, it's be proud of what you bring. Be proud of what you're putting your hands to, your actions to. Be proud of what your gifting is and what you're building, because that is something to be commendable for. And that is what, you know, our Father says, be faithful. Be faithful with what I've given you. He's not expecting you to be something that you're not. He's not expecting you to be the person that you're sitting next to. He wants you to flourish in who you are as a child of God. The same as I'm not expecting James to be like another person's husband. I want him to just be who he is, you know, because that is who, you know, God has created and made him to be. The same is this for me. And I think, how are we treating one another in the body of Christ? Are we expecting that of one another? Or are we honoring what's on that person's life and valuing it and, yeah, empowering them in that gifting? Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're so incredibly blessed with what we get to outwork because of what people have laid before us as well. I think, like we were saying at the start, like, people have gone ahead of us and made room for us to outwork our spiritual giftings at the moment. Yeah. Like, we're standing in someone else's legacy. And, like, when we think about moving on from the married couple, I think when we're looking at this, when we were structuring what we were sharing, we're looking at it as right now where the season for us is.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward at what's to come in Jack and his little sibling, but also what we're standing in because of what's gone before us as well. And we are so incredibly blessed to be standing upon the shoulders of who's gone before us. We've got incredible parents who have laid faith foundations in our life. Kathy and Alan are incredibly faith-filled people who have set such a standard in Ange's and Pastor Charlotte's life to have faith and to listen to God's voice in everything, to be people who always speak life and always speak out encouragement over people. And for my parents, a different end of the spectrum, but at the same time, so faith-filled.
Yeah.
My parents have walked through some really, really tough seasons. I was actually, I was born 10 days after, touch over 10 days after my brother passed away. So I was born into a family that was so grief-struck, so hurting, so not understanding what God was doing, and then given this responsibility straight away. And when I'd take time, like, we, you know, once a year you sit down and have those family conversations, and you always learn about something new that maybe you didn't know before, or that your parents have done, or what's happened. And sitting down with Dad, and he just started sharing about this prophecy over my life that he received, like, straight from the Father as he's losing his son. And then that season, that season as a father, leading your family through that kind of heartache, but also listening to God's voice in that moment. And being able to be faithful to it. There's plenty of time. I remember even just one time he was sharing with me of, like, do you know, we were so broken as a family. We didn't know what to do. We had an elder daughter, my elder sister, and we were just broken. We couldn't even cook meals, and the church would come over and love our family. And there was a time he said that they finally made dinner, which was enough just for the two of them and for us as kids. And all these people just decided to turn up. And they were just spending time with them, just loving them. And it was, Dad was like, there was nowhere near enough food for everyone. So he decided to just, I'll just have a tiny bit and I'll just serve everyone up dinner. And he did. And, you know, they spent time together. They were worshiping, they were praying. And they came back and the pot was full again. And it just, there was all night, there was enough food for everyone who kept coming. And just so loving our family. And it sounds simple, but in that moment where there wasn't enough, there was more than enough. Where there was brokenness, there was words of life. And it set such a foundation that in such hurting that we could move forward as a family and we'd step straight into a season of faith. Like, as a baby, obviously, I wasn't doing anything, but for him to receive words about my life and where we are now and what's ahead, to receive those kind of words in the midst of, God, why didn't you heal my son? I think is the kind of legacy that we get to step into.
Yeah, amen. It's good.
There is such greatness in the stories that have been, and don't let them be lost, because it is so important for my generation to see the faith that my parents had, to see the faith that his parents had.
Yeah.
Don't let the stories go silent. Don't let the stories die. Share them. Spend time at the dinner table as a family with the grandparents, with the grandkids. I encourage you so much. Allow your grandkids to see your faith as well.
Good.
Because they're going to receive something off you as a grandparent.
Yeah.
That maybe they're not going to receive yet off their parents, because they haven't walked these seasons yet. Your time hasn't passed. There is so much for you yet to pour out over your family.
Yeah. And when we sharing about that, like even in our own house, in our own family here at Celebration Church, we have such a huge legacy of the spiritual giants in this house. Like I look across and I see Wayne and Mary, faith-filled, incredible people. Look at Janice and Paul. Look at Alwyn. Others, sorry if I haven't mentioned you all. Like we are blessed with rich wisdom that the ones have gone before us. And we, as a church family, want to receive off the giftings and the wisdom and the seasons that they've walked through. Let's not let that pass by, you know. It can happen out in the courtyard over lunch, you know. It doesn't have to be, you know, a real hard thing to organize. Like, and allow ourselves as a church family to ask those questions, you know. How have you, you know, walked through things with your spiritual gift? How have you learned how to use that? How have you helped others in empowering them with their spiritual gifts? Ask those questions, because we can learn off what people have walked through. And to honor that on someone's life is such a powerful thing. And for us to receive that as a family, I believe is going to enrich us so well. Like, let's not let these people pass us by without receiving the God on their lives. And it says that in Psalm 78, verse 4. It says, we will not hide them from their children, but we will tell the generation to come the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, and tell of his great might and power and the wonderful works that he has done. Are we doing this though? Like, are we actually telling about what our God has done, testifying about his goodness, sharing about the giftings and how it's helped to build and empower and encourage, how it's helped to build your own life, like through our experiences, through our grandparents? Like, I'll share about my beautiful mum's mum was such an incredible woman of God, and she would always, her words would always be so lifing, so encouraging, but she'd always have a song, always have a praise song. Her words were always praising God. That beautiful aspect of my Nana, my mom is that as well. You know, that it's carried on from the generation. She is now someone who speaks encouragement and life and will sing these beautiful songs over Jack, to the point that he falls asleep as she's singing these songs over him and praying in tongues over him, and he gets to receive off that. Like, it's just beautiful from generation to generation. What are we going to receive from them? But what are we going to allow them to empower into our lives with their giftings that can cause us as a family to grow, cause us as a family to flourish? Like, I believe that over our families as like a as a family, but as our corporate family, like we are called to flourish. God has said, I'm come to give you abundant life, not just surviving. Abundance, and which is powerful. So yes, we're believing that we can testify generation to generation. Amen. Is there anything else?
There's such power in what we've walked through and continuing to share those testimonies with those around us. And I encourage you, for whatever season you're in, to recognize and mark down the testimonies that are upon your life. There's value in every testimony, whether you consider it small or large or powerful or overwhelmingly supernatural. I think the Old Testament did it really well as far as they stopped and they built altars.
Yeah.
So that when generations to come would pass through an area, they would know what God did.
Yes.
Are we doing something to build altars in our life that get passed down generations to recognize what God did upon our families? Are your grandkids carrying something different because what God's placed upon you in your life? Because he shifted something. He changed your perspective, your filter. He gave you faith for something that you'd never had before.
Amen.
I encourage us as a church and as a family and as people all on our own journeys to take time to recognize those testimonies and let them be known. Like, don't just keep them for yourself. Allow them to be known, because the faith that they stir within someone else is so priceless.
Yes.
We look at the Word of God and really, it's just testimony upon testimony that encourage us.
Right.
When Ange and I sit there and share the story of Daniel in the lion's den and the testimony of what?
Sorry.
Oh, okay. But like, and we share that testimony of someone having such faith and knowing who their God is.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop worshiping God.
Yeah, amen.
That's building faith in Jack's life through the testimony of what someone's done journeying with God.
That's right.
And I pray that it's not something that we just leave for the Bible to share, but it's actually our journey as well that we're going to pass on to our kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
good. Cool. Yes. And just, as we just recap and finish, thank you. Like, thank you for giving us this opportunity, like Pastor Benoit and Charlie and Pastor Joel, and thank you for being a part of it. And our heart today is that thank you for listening to our testimonies and what God's done within our life. But we just pray over you that, you know, we're just believing that the Holy Spirit will stir, will encourage, will empower you. And like what we were sharing around giftings, that whatever season you're in understanding your gifting and what it is God's called you to, that you'll just be encouraged to remember that he's actually given you that gift for a reason, for a purpose, and he knows how to empower you to use it. And so as we partner with him, he will help us to do it. You know, we don't need to get worried about it or striving about it or thinking, oh, I don't know how to use this, or how am I going to do this, God, or you've given me this vision and I don't know how to see it out work. Take a breath. He's got it. And he knows how to lead us individually. He knows how to lead our families. Yeah. He knows how to lead us as a church family. Let's trust in him. Again, let's rely on him afresh. And let's remember that this building up series, we've found it so encouraging in our own lives to be like recognizing what God is doing, but also recognizing how we can use it to build one another, our family, our church family, all for his glory. Because it's all about him anyway, isn't it, church? It's all about our King Jesus receiving all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. But I just think it's so beautiful that our Father has given us these gifts to use to bring glory to him, but also to encourage one another with them. Yeah. So, like I said, be proud of it, be confident in it, enjoy the journey with it, whatever season you are in learning it, and we're just very thankful. Thank you for coming today, and we just pray the Holy Spirit will just speak life, truth, and blessing. Yeah.
And make time as a family. Have dinner. Hopefully what we've said makes sense. Hopefully you heard God through our journey and what we're in at the moment and what we're hopefully going to step into and what Jack's going to step into. Take some time to get together as your family and to share what God's done in your life.
Yeah.
Because maybe your kids haven't heard that testimony. Maybe your grandkids haven't heard that testimony. Or maybe you haven't heard that testimony from your grandkids yet. And that's going to be sparking faith in your life and your journey. And I just pray that we'll take time to continue to build our families, not just for the sake of our families being bigger, but for there to be more room, for more to come around the table. for someone else to come and sit down and be encouraged by what your family's doing. So, yeah, I just encourage you to take that time as a practical step away from today to actually take time as a family, as husband and wife, with your kids, with your grandparents or whatever that is. Or maybe as a connect, if you don't have that opportunity at the moment in your home, as a connect to sit down and to share the testimonies of what God's done and stirred your faith for. And maybe sit down with your old connect leader, wherever they are, whether you've come from another church or wherever, but to just spend time honoring the generations that have been and that are here now and that are yet to come and what God's doing in all of it. So we'll just take a second to pray.
Yeah.
And hopefully you were blessed by that. Yeah. Cool. Lord, we thank you for this morning.
Thank you
for the honor it is to be in your house. We honor you, Lord.
Yes,
and
God.
We just pray, Father, that you would continue to stir our faith. Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you for our marriages. We thank you for our siblings. We thank you for the generations that have gone before us, Father. And we just thank you that you are not finished yet.
Amen.
What you've got upon us isn't finished yet.
Amen.
And we just pray that we would have the faith to step out and do incredible things because of what you're speaking over us, Father.
Jesus.
We pray that our faith would continue to stir one another, not limit one another. That we would have such a hunger to see heaven on earth.
Amen.
Lord. And we pray, Lord, that now is the season to see it happen.
Yeah.
That we're not waiting for you to come again, but you are here and you are amongst us, Lord.
Yeah.
So we just, we honor you and we step into it with hungry hearts, Jesus. Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Watsons. How blessed are we? They wore matching brown shoes and black outfits. They left their son in the car. He'll be fine. You guys were awesome. How awesome is it just to hear, especially we're a few weeks into our series, hear how a couple is processing what God is speaking. I pray that as much as the words that they said, that you would be encouraged to maybe go home and have some conversations and think and process. And if you don't have kids, think about generationally. Think about, look across our auditorium, ask some questions of stories and what God has done, or head down to our kids and encourage some, or our young people, encourage them in what God has done in your life. So what a blessing they are to our church family. Can we stand together this morning? I'd love just to pray for you. If you're with your spouse or a friend or someone, why don't you chuck a hand on a shoulder or interlink fingers if you're a couple. I'd love to pray for your week. Does that sound good? Jesus, we just thank you that you are with us. We ask, Holy Spirit, this week that you would guide us, that your voice would speak clearly to us. We thank you for the word that we just heard just then, and we pray that we would hear your words, whether that be learning your timing or imparting stories or honoring those around us. We ask, Jesus, you would give us opportunities this week. Give us eyes to see those opportunities to share generationally. I pray blessing over our church family, protection, health, God, and we just ask that you would help us to continue to be built up and to build others up. In Jesus' name, a faith-filled church said.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.